Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Confessions of a Spirit Messenger, mediumship and spirituality with a Boston attitude. Information presented here is inspired by spirit and brought to you by Spirit Messenger Nicole Quinn. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope you'll enjoy the show. Hello, everybody. How are you? This is Nicole Quinn, and welcome to the Confessions of a Spirit Messenger talk show here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining me today. It's Monday, the start of your week, and you might notice my voice is a little scratchy. I'm having some issues with allergies today. Hopefully, I'll be able to get through it, because otherwise, I might have to cut the show short. So I've got some stuff prepared for today. I have a tendency to change the topic of the show at the last second, and that's because, well, when it comes to my guidance, they sort of have a way of telling me things not in my time, in their time. And so I woke up this morning, and as I tell everyone, in that little twilight time between waking and sleeping, I end up with this stream of consciousness. And it's like, it's what I'm supposed to do today or teach today or the building block that's going to be the next step in what I'm trying to understand for my own life. So as my regular listeners know, this show is not really about getting readings and creating a dependence on somebody else to give you the answers. You know, you could come to me and tell and ask me, you know, is this relationship going to work for me? And I can tell you no. But you don't really leave with anything. You leave with somebody else's answer. You don't leave with your own answer. And that's not what I want from the people that I come across that touch my life, whose lives I touch. I want you to not have to come back to me again, because you'll know how to get the answers yourself, and you won't ever have to keep telling yourself that you can't do it, because you can. So with that said, there's no readings today, but I do have some stuff to teach. And so I asked, you know, what is it today that I need to know? And we've been on this journey, and I would say at least over the past maybe three shows or so, there's been kind of like a thread that's been running through them, and each thing is building on the next. So we talked a little bit about, at the beginning of the year, about what the year would be about, how this is going to unfold, what we need to focus on, the different things that are going to start coming to light, and the lessons that we'll be learning. And when I asked them that, they said, the guides, the people, when I say them, know that I'm talking about spirit, I'm talking about my people, which, you know, they're guide people for all intents and purposes, and teachers on the other side that actually come through to teach things to me so that I can help other people learn. They told me relationships, forgiveness, tolerance, and family. Wow, that's a pretty big lineup. But they also told me that it wouldn't be separately, that, you know, it's like the first quarter of the year will be about relationships. No, not exactly. It doesn't quite work that way. All of these things will sort of be folded in together. One of the words that I don't like that they used is tolerance. And the reason I'll tell you is this, is because, you know, we talk a lot about how manifestation happens, where our thoughts are actually projected out and they become things. Tolerance is a word that has a specific vibration attached to it, but although the word itself has a meaning, like a definition, what we feel when we talk about tolerance is usually the vibration that's being sent out and not the definition of the thought form. So tolerance for me is like some kind of endurance trial where, yes, I'm tolerating you because, you know, I can take it. I think what the real word we want to use in this place is acceptance, because acceptance says something entirely different. It's an embracing of something, and it's not an endurance trial. You know, you're not waiting for it to be over. You're fully embracing something. So I'm going to kind of substitute that word, because although I know that what the guides meant by that, I want to make sure that I use the right words so everyone understands it too. And that might actually have been part of what I was supposed to teach, because I also have understood from the guides that I need to help people redefine the things that they think they know. I know, right? Tall order. Thanks, guys. I know what I'm talking about. Sure, yeah. You know, we have these preconceived notions of things, and then you hear a word, and it calls up that association in your brain. But that is not necessarily what's always meant. We have these kinds of communication issues with people on a daily basis. I'm sure everyone out there knows. If you talk to someone, what you tell them is not necessarily what you meant because they don't understand it the same way. So that's also wound up in all of this. So let me start off with the relationships. Relationships is very interesting. It's just, okay, so we come here and we're here with all these other people. We're not here by ourselves. And we think about this as, I don't know, I don't even know how to explain it. We think that this is all these relationships that we have problems with are the surface problems. You know, I want to be with this person because this person makes me feel whole. Big mistake. You're whole without anybody else. Or I want to be with this person because this person makes me feel loved. Oh, okay. So what we're doing here is we're setting up these scenarios where the relationship isn't really about the union between two people and this communing of two souls, but rather about a use. And I could even call it a codependency. I could call it a way to fulfill one's needs. You can even call relationship as a form of currency. And no matter how many people come to me with this problem, I have a relationship problem. 99.9% of people out there have a problem with a relationship in their life, whatever it is. Their children, their parents, their loved ones that are in extended families, or most likely relationships that have to do with romance. If your relationship is contingent upon your happiness, it isn't a healthy relationship. That is not to say that when something happens with someone, you can't be unhappy. But if it rules your entire life, that's not the relationship that you want. So when it comes to romantic relationships, if you're having a problem, it may be because you're not focusing on the right things. If your relationship performs a function, or even worse, if it feeds an addiction that you have, that's not a healthy relationship. And I hate to drop a bomb like this on a Monday morning, but let this news shake you up, because relationships aren't what you think they're about. Underneath it all, because we have this ego, because we came here and we have this ego that tells us that we're separate, that's where kind of it all starts. You have to start with yourself. And if yourself is in a good place and you know who you are, what you want, and you don't need anybody else to make you happy because you're already happy, that's the best case scenario for you to find the relationship of your dreams. I can't teach you how to do that. You have to do it yourself. You have to face your own self. You have to take inventory of the stuff you have going on inside of you. There is a lot of media, you know, attention around relationships. We see celebrities with their, you know, boy toy of the week or whatever you want to call it. These are not the best role models for us, but they become role models because we've decided that they know better than we do. Nobody knows better about what you need than you, but make sure that when you assess that need, you're coming from the right place. Make sure that you're coming from the heart and you're not coming from this, you know, these pieces fit this puzzle and therefore now I'm whole. So if you're a person who's into the arts and you think, I need a spouse that's very much linear and into, you know, the opposite that what I'm into, they're very logical, maybe even a lawyer. Why would you do that to yourself? Why wouldn't you give yourself the gift of opening up to another spirit, another person that's just here on this earth trying to figure out their mission, and just commune with them and share with them and appreciate one another? These are the things you're supposed to kind of put into a relationship. What we end up doing is trying to find someone to complete us. That is a crock of complete BS. Nobody out there needs to complete you. You don't need anyone. You don't need anyone to be whole. What we need each other for is that sense of union. Relationship is about union. It's about looking into the eyes of another human being. And it's about understanding their struggle. It's about coming together with someone and realizing you're not alone. These are the things that relationships are really about. When you make them about, well, I don't have any money, this guy has money, I'm going to marry him and then I'll have money too. That's really turning relationship into currency, and I can't think of any greater sin. I hate to even put it that way, but that's the word that comes to mind. That's a sin. That's not right, and that's not going to make you happy in the end because you're not coming from the right place. So let's see. I want to just look at the notes that I had written down. That's pretty much all that I had written down. We really need to look at relationship as a union. And when you take it to that place where it's a functional thing, or even if it feeds an addiction, there are a lot of people who are very insecure. And if you're insecure, you tend to gravitate to people that are going to make you feel secure. These are the people that are going to basically kiss your butt. I hate to say it, but that's what they do. I like this person. They make me feel good. They tell me good things about myself all the time. If in the absence of that person you don't have that feeling, please know that that relationship is a codependent relationship. It is not a genuine relationship. It's not coming from the right place. You need to look in the mirror and tell yourself that you love yourself and you're whole and complete without anyone. It's a very stressful journey to get to that place for a lot of us, but that's what we're really supposed to do here, is we're really supposed to get to that place where we realize everything we see in front of us is not all there is. And in the act of forgetting, we're able to rediscover ourselves and we're able to rediscover what it really means to be a spirit on a journey. So one of the other kind of concepts that comes into this is, as you know, we discussed surrender. The week before that, we talked about the ego. All of these things, they're almost like lessons in a book that are leading somewhere. They all connect. They're not just independent things that you're going to get quizzed on. They're all going to mesh together, and they're going to come together in a way that at some point you'll have an aha moment, and you'll just realize, oh my God, that's what all of that was. That's kind of where I want to take you with this one. Co-creation. At the end of the last lesson, we talked about surrender, and that surrender really is not about just giving everything up and saying, I can't do it, I take myself out of the equation. It's actually about bringing God into the equation and realizing I don't have to do this by myself, and that's what I've been trying to do. It is about that union. It's about the relationship. When we realize, when the ego part of ourselves realizes it does not have to exist all by itself and it doesn't have to do the work all by itself, we step into the light of co-creation and we become aware of the fact that we are parts of something greater. We're just little sparks of light that belong to the great big light. And that's when you start to understand really what co-creation means. I had a real big problem with co-creation for a long time. I thought of it as a business or contractual relationship that, you know, sort of like you farm out the work when you need it, but most of the time you don't. That's not the way to look at it. I kind of use it as an example sometimes just to kind of illustrate how bringing in someone can actually benefit you when you're having a problem and inviting other people in and not doing it by yourself. But really what it is another extension of that awareness that we're not just a tiny piece of the puzzle having to play God all by ourselves and recreate a reality and a life and everything. We don't have to do those things. We're already part of something. And that's really what co-creation means. So having said that, I can't count the number of people who have struggled that I've come across, you know, in terms of just friends, clients, all kinds of people, all different walks of life. And they seem to be really struggling, and they feel isolated, they feel alone, they're upset, they're trapped, they don't know how to get out of their situations. And each one of them is shocked and amazed at the results that they get when they offer up a simple prayer, that it just eases their burden, and they don't even necessarily logically understand why. But it's because it's not the logical mind that makes all the decisions by itself. It's the union within yourself of the different parts of you. Your soul is making a lot of choices. They're not, the soul is not just a separate part that your logic, which is the real you, as we try to say in this life, in this reality, the logic decides should just, you know, be invited into this meeting and give their input. it doesn't work like that. These pieces don't move independently. They move together. And it's when we take the logic out of it and we take our mental side and we make it more dominant that we have a problem. And it's because we're ignoring the other parts of ourselves. It's just like any functional machine, yes, there are parts, but it's more than the sum of its parts. There's a lot going on that if one thing doesn't work, another thing doesn't work. They're dependent on one another. So when we think about how ourselves work, who we are, our souls, our minds, our emotions, our thoughts, none of these things move independently. They're all working together. So when it comes to the limited view of problem solving that we have because of the reality that we're in, it's really important to remember that you can open up and commune with something higher than you. And that it's not some kind of admission of defeat. It's not any of that. I know people feel like if they can't do everything themselves, that makes them weak. And that's one of those definitions that we really need to redefine. Weakness is not what we think it is. Weakness is not limited to the definitions here that we have prescribed for them. There's a lot of strength in the union. And I said this last week, and I don't know if anyone really thought about it or put any more stock into it. The more open you are, the more safe you are. If you think that to yourself, almost like a mantra, you'll be able to get past a lot of things without having to logically sift through them all and give yourself that big mess to try to figure out. It's okay to be open. It is okay to share your heart. What's going to happen is you're going to notice a shift. And you'll notice those definitions that you thought you had suddenly change without you changing your mental process. And it's because you're inviting in another part of yourself to be able to, kind of integrate with the experience. So I don't know if that makes sense, but to everyone out there, but that's the way that it was given to me. And co-creation just means we're acknowledging more than our small selves, inviting in the cosmos to bring in the change that we're seeking. So let me look and see. I have a bunch of notes here. Okay, so that leads me into the greater discussion of participating in your lessons. You know, there are people out there who say, this is not what people have said. It's not the great classroom. We're not here to learn anything. I don't believe that. And I'm not, the end-all be-all, but I think it's safe to say that there is a lot to be learned here, and that's why we're here. So the trick is, I'm going to try really hard to define this perspective because I even find it hard to try to describe myself. To participate in your lessons. Now, co-creation is part of this discussion. When you're a student, you don't have any idea why you're learning what you're learning, right? You sit in the classroom and you think to yourself, why do I even need to know this? Who cares, right? Well, the teacher can't answer that question for you. The teacher can't tell you what your future holds. And if they did know what your future holds, they can't tell you what scenarios you're going to bring up in your mind, what past knowledge you're going to use to solve your issues. That's all on you. And this is how guidance works. So you have to trust that while you're in this process of learning, that what you're being shown is for a purpose, even if you don't know what that purpose is. One of the things that I have been asking my guides about is about healing. Because it's a huge thing here. There are a lot of people that are sick, that are in pain, that have health issues. And I wanted to find a way to try to talk to those people, address that exact kind of issue. And amazingly what I got, I'm always surprised at what they give me. Co-creation is part of this too. But what they told me is, that scenario, that concept, that energy cannot be created nor destroyed, it can only change form. And this is why we have disease. I know that sounds really weird, but I'm going to keep going with this. I don't fully understand it myself yet. But, okay, so if everything is energy, and energy can't be created or destroyed, it can only change form, that what we think of as new is not new. And what we think of as gone is not gone, right? Now, disease is a manifestation. It is energy moving from one form to another. And in this case, it could be something from your energy field, your emotional body, or even a thought form that has transmuted into something physical. So your disease was the disease before. It just was in a different energy form. It's turned from energy to something more physical. Once the disease is gone, it's not gone either. It's just been transmuted into something else once again. I can't answer what that is, but know that everything is always okay, no matter what you see, what you're perceiving, whatever your senses are telling you is present or not present. Everything is present all the time. Now, when you have a problem with your health, it's a little bit harder to overlook because it limits what you can do, and I understand it's a very difficult thing to have to deal with. When it comes to the physical level, I know there's a lot of people out there who are very into energy healing. I'm an energy healer. I really do think there's a lot that can be said about energy work. But I just want to let you know that once it becomes a physical problem, a physical treatment is a very logical thing. And it's not the wrong thing to do. There are people out there who think if someone could just wave their hands over them and that the everything will be gone, you know, the whole disease will be gone. I don't know that that's impossible, and I would say it's not impossible. But I will say that the concept of a physical illness needing a physical treatment has been introduced to me in the past week or so. And that's an answer that I've had, that I've been asking for. I need to understand physical illness and why it feels like so many people are let down by conventional treatment or even by alternative treatment. And it's because we're not working with the whole problem. We're only working with the symptoms. And we think if the symptoms are gone, the problem is gone. So in medicine, they treat the symptoms some of the time, not all of the time. Sometimes they actually know what's wrong and they get to the heart of it, like if it's a bacterial infection, for example. When we're using logic, we're treating the symptoms. When we invite the soul to play its part in the process, we begin to see that not only do we need to pull everything, we don't need to pull everything apart to fix it, but it becomes whole without a lot of that logical input. So this is also part of the greater discussion about integrating everything. So when it comes to health and healing, anyone out there who has a health problem right now, I don't ever encourage people to do anything that they don't feel is right for them. But if it's been coming to this point where you're willing to try anything, don't stop your medical treatment. Continue to do what the physical stuff here makes sense to do is and what your doctor's advising you. But I would say invite in the possibility that energy work might bring that to another level. Everything is connected, everything complements and affects one another. If you feel like you're at that place where everything else that you're doing just doesn't seem to be working, don't stop it. Try to invite in something else and see if that works. I'd be careful with any kind of herbal stuff. I'd be careful with any other physical stuff. But if you find someone who does just purely energy healing, maybe uses crystals, I would definitely try that and see if that can help you, because the message that I'm getting with this is that if we don't catch things in time, if we don't take care of our energy bodies and we don't tend to our emotions, all of these things are manifesting into disease. This is what is meant by we create our reality and we create our bodies. It's not that we're sitting there logically telling ourselves, I need to have cancer. That's not what it is. That's how it's presented. It really pisses me off. I can't tell you enough how angry that makes me, because it doesn't communicate the right thing. It comes off completely, completely wrong. What all of this is about is an awareness. And it sounds really simple. When you're not aware of something, you have no control over it, you can't fix it, you can't even ask the question, how can I fix it? Because you're not aware of it. If you open up your awareness and you expand yourself, you'll be able to take care of problems before they manifest into physical problems. Energy cannot be created, nor can it be destroyed. Everything is always there in one form or another. But we do have the ability to affect it. And so if you're having this pattern, like let's say in your thoughts where you're telling yourself over and over, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, you're taking, let's say, whatever energy that you do have that maybe isn't, you know, it's not going in one direction or another, and you're pushing it in that one direction that's making it negative. The negative energy is going to go out and it's going to affect everything around you, and eventually it's going to transform and transmute whatever's around you in that direction as well. I don't know if that's as clear as I can possibly be. I will ask if there is more that I can tell you to help you understand this whole manifestation puzzle, because it's been very disturbing to me since I first learned about all this stuff, where you're talking about the law of attraction and all that. I don't think it's being properly spoken about. And I believe that the truth is the highest authority. I believe that all truth really does set you free. And if I can get to the core where I talk, whatever words I use, whatever vibration they have, communicate to you the absolute truth about how you can really utilize and be practical about this information, I promise you that I will. But it's definitely not the logical thing that they want us to believe that it is. It's not about sitting there and constructing your day and all of this other stuff that they talk about. It's not that simple. There's a lot more to it. And really, and I don't say this to be a downer, because I know some people will take it this way. Really, everything that you do is all you. You're really in this alone. And when I say alone, I don't mean alone in the sense that nobody is there to support you. I mean that the decision really will not be able to take place until you yourself make it. And if you make a decision based on what someone else told you, but it's not what's in your heart, because you don't want to face what's in your heart, you're going to yield more conflict. It's a dangerous game. It's a dangerous game. And there are a lot of people who were raised a certain way, brought up in a household where you did what everyone told you, and for whatever reason, those relationships, here we go with the relationships again, affected you and defined yourself instead of you realizing and being aware of who you are on the inside. If your relationships are defining you, you got to know that you're on the wrong you're on the wrong path. You got to. If you don't know who you are outside of being a son or a daughter, outside of being a husband or a wife, or outside of being even what your job is, if all of those relationships define who you are, you're not coming from the right place. When you know who you are, that knowledge and that vibration defines those relationships. That's the direction it's supposed to go in, guys. It's not supposed to go in the opposite direction. Who am I? I don't know. Let's take a look around. Well, I'm really good at taking care of other people. I'm a caretaker. That may be some of the equation, but not all of it. What you want to tell yourself is, I desire so much to help other people, and then go out and become a caretaker. You don't want that label to define who you are. You want the place where you come from to be pure, and your intentions, you know, they talk about intentions a lot in the New Age world. Intentions are very, very important. That's really where it all starts. If you wake up in the morning and you have really good intentions, the rest of your day is going to go and flow in that direction. You know, it's going to be kind of like ripples in the tide. You throw a little pebble in there and it ripples out. Your intention is what determines your actions. It does start there. It does not start where we all think it does, with everything that's going on outside of us. And yes, there is a process where we're also the observer, where we're looking around us and we're seeing and observing things and sometimes reacting to them. But once you become aware that you're reacting and not observing anymore, you have the ability to pull back and not to just do something impulsive or something that maybe isn't what is in your heart, something that isn't your intention to do. You may inadvertently hurt someone. You don't know what when you're reacting, you're not engaging in the process. It's automatic pilot. It's not the state you want to be in. So this is just a whole, I'm sure that in the 30 minutes that I talk, I don't know that you can pick up everything. I think probably the best way to utilize these little discussions that I have with you every week is to either download them onto your iTunes or your iPod or whatever you have, and listen to them again at your leisure and pull or listen to see what stands out for you. Because even though I don't do personal readings on this show all the time, everything that I say is going to pertain to you. Something in there is going to pertain to someone that's listening. It's like a general reading almost. So I would take the show, go back and listen to it when you have quiet time and see if there's anything there that appears to be an answer for you, because I know that there's answers in everything that I say because I wouldn't be given it otherwise. And that's the place that I come from. I go out there and I do this kind of work because I do have a deep desire to help people and to bring the truth to people. So with that, I'm going to close up the show. I want everyone to please have a wonderful week and to walk in the light of spirit with one foot in each world. Namaste, and I'll see you next time.